Hi, I'm Bernice Slutsky. I'm Senior Vice President for Domestic and International Policy at ASTA.
Okay. And Bernice, one of the biggest things that we talked about at this meeting here last year was the accord, now called the Ag Accord. And what we just had a recent development on the second part of the accord last week. Tell me about that.
That's correct. Well, last year when we were talking about the accord, we had just completed the first agreement under what is now called the Ag Accord, and that's the generic event access and marketability agreement, and or the GEMA, as we like to call it. And we have now completed the second agreement under the Ag Accord, so the data use and compensation agreement. So the Ag Accord is now complete. And all the information is up on the website, the agaccord.org. Website. We have two signatories for the DECA right now, but it is now open for signatories.
Okay, so as far as the DECA is concerned, as you call it, what is that exactly?
Well, there are a lot of similarities between both agreements. Both agreements provide for access to events when they go off patent. Both agreements provide a framework to maintain regulatory authorizations. Both agreements have stewardship obligations. So there are a lot of similarities between both agreements. There are some differences. The GEMA has certain options that don't appear in the DECA. The DECA provides for a more structured process for negotiating what we call a comprehensive agreement to determine how and who is going to maintain regulatory authorizations in our export markets.
Now, ASTA has been working with agricultural organizations and also with a biotechnology organization with this, correct?
That's correct. So this has been a joint effort between ASTA and NBio. Throughout the process, from the very beginning, when we were first kind of determining what the overall framework for the Ag Accord was going to be, we periodically went back to all of our stakeholders to first find out what they needed under this framework, and then to kind of have a benchmark with them to make sure that we were still on track and that we were still providing something that provided for what they needed out of this agreement. And the primary focus is to maintain our trade.
Right. And what we're looking at here, the purpose of putting this into effect was that we've got the first biotech event going off patent about a year from now, correct?
That's correct. We also, though, need to remember that after the first few events go off patent, it's going to be a number of years before the next events go off patent. So we're really being proactive. And so we're putting something in place well in advance of more events going off patent. So that will allow us to learn these, if we have to make changes, it allows us to make changes, or the signatories to make changes. But what we've really done is put in place a framework and these agreements well in advance of their need.
And to help by the industry being proactive, you're getting ahead of any kind of regulatory process then.
Well, throughout this, we've maintained that, and actually the U.S. government encouraged us to do this, that industry needed to come up with the solution. And so we're very pleased that we've been able to conclude all this.
Well, like you said, it was compared kind of to the agrochemical industry in the same thing, the generic as it became generics. But from my understanding, this is going to be a little bit slower than that process. Is that right?
Well, it's more complicated. And you have to remember that seed are living things, so you have that. You have that aspect of it. These are highly regulated products, so even though they're going off patent, they are still very highly regulated around the world, and that regulation has an impact on our commodity exports. And so it's there are different layers of complication that we had to kind of work through. So again, we're very happy that we were able to conclude it.
It's great to see the industry work together on something as complicated as that. Now, the GEMA, which was finalized last year, how many signatories do you have at that with that, and how many signatories do you have at this point with the DUCA?
There are 10 signatories with the GEMA. It is up and running. Notices of patent expiration are being put onto the website. There's a functioning committee of signatories for the GEMA. And so it is, it's really up, it's done, up and running. I haven't looked, but as of a few days ago, there were 2 signatories for the DUCA. I should mention that there is a different threshold for the DUCA and as to how many signatories there needs to be before it's implemented. So under the GEMA, once there were 6 signatories, the GEMA was implemented. For the DUCA, again, it's 6 signatories, but those signatories, there have to be at least 3, what we're calling those entities that hold the regulatory data. There have to be 3 of those and 3 entities that do not hold the regulatory data.
Well, by that you mean companies that...
It doesn't have to be. Well, for the proprietary regulatory property holders, those will be companies,
right.
And there need to be 3 of those. For the non-PRP holders, don't necessarily have to be companies. For example, under the GEMA, Farm Bureau, Corn Growers, and American Soybean Association have they've signed the GEMA. But we wanted to make sure that there was a mix of entities, signatories for the DUCA once it was implemented.
All right, very good. Well, we'll look forward to that progress with this as it comes along, and it's good to see the industry, as I said, working together. Thank you very much, Bernice.